Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a show that happens twice a week where two old guys talk about old games. It's Original Flavor Wednesday, mm-hmm. So that denotes a certain style of game.
Yeah, the Super Nintendo style.
Yeah,
always.
Wednesday.
we're dedicated to that.
Where we play through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games.
Yes.
This week, a milestone game, a 10.
Yeah.
Divisible by 10.
Uh-huh. Is it? Are we in 30?
We are in 30.
Whoa.
IGN's 30th ranked game.
Uh-huh.
The Lost Vikings.
Oh, is that what we're supposed to play? That joke never gets old. never gets old.
until you accidentally play the wrong game.
Yeah, which might happen. That almost happened with the Goonies.
Yeah.
So
we're playing Goonies 2. Fuck.
Goonies 2. Oh, damn it. Okay. Let me play that real quick.
I am your bearded host, Tyler. And this week, kind of a slow week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lazy Kentucky summer.
Lazy Kentucky summer. All I did was have a baby.
What?
Yeah. Oh.
You're not supposed to have a baby.
Yeah, you're right. I was not supposed to have a baby.
Why did you do that?
I wasn't supposed to have a baby until 6 weeks from now.
So why did you decide to have a baby now?
Meg and I were sitting around and we were like, are you tired of going out with like friends and like doing shit? And I was like, yeah, I'm done. He's like, you want to go like just cut this thing out and go ahead and start?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay, cool.
No, Meg.
Warm today. Warm yesterday. Want to have a baby?
Meg got a call from the doctor on Friday morning where she had taken some tests before. The doctor was like, some of these look bad, so come in. We may have to have this baby today. So Meg like woke me up. Hey, we might have to have a baby. Okay.
Let's do it.
Got up, put some pants on, went to the doctor. Doctor was like, yeah, you're going to have a baby in an hour. So then in an hour.
That's the window you had to work with.
Yep.
Like you had to get to the hospital and get...
Well, once we got to the hospital,
okay.
They were like, basically, it's to get you set up and everything, it's going to take an hour, then you're going to have a baby.
Because I was kind of hoping it was like a supermarket sweep setup where it's like you had an hour. And it's like you had to get dressed in the car, drive over there, and they're like waiting for you at the door.
come on. No, Meg, she had developed something called HELLP syndrome that she had completely skipped the first marker for that as an indication and just went right into like the serious stuff.
What is that?
It is where her blood, like her liver enzymes are really high and her blood platelets are really low. And
we all know, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yep. So it can be very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
So they went in, they were like, you're doing good. Baby's doing good. Let's take advantage of that right now. So I got on, like, I text and called everybody, like, hey, you have a baby in an hour.
Yeah. So, I was in Alabama when I got that message, and I was like, what the fuck? That's what I think I woke up to that text message because I slept in. Because as you know, I was pretty tired last week.
Yeah.
So I really took advantage. Yeah, I remember getting that text message and being like, what the fuck is going on? It honestly made me feel important.
That I sent you that message?
No, that I was like, well, I'm gone. And my presence just couldn't keep that baby in there anymore.
you were providing the magical seal that kept my baby inside. Yeah. And once you went, she just broke loose.
Yeah. I have to tell myself things like that so I don't, do something silly.
So they went in, did a emergency C-section, which is crazy. A C-section is crazy.
An emergency C-section is probably crazier.
Yeah, because it was basically they wheeled her back there and got her ready, and then like I had to dress in a full like surgeon outfit,
clown costume,
big clown costume.
It's a weird hospital.
I walk back there and they have Meg strapped to a table, like with her arms out, like she's on the cross, and then like a big blanket in front of her that so she can't see anything that's going on. They thought they might have to put her to sleep, which she was scared about. She didn't want to do that, but her blood platelets were just high enough that they gave her an epidural. So that was good.
Yeah, thank God for that.
But I'm sitting there and I'm talking her through it, and they're doing everything. I can hear the cuts and the slices and the splishing and the splashing going on. But everything's gone. Everything's good. So they're just about to pull out the baby. And it was like a scene out of Jurassic Park, because they have to reach in and pull the baby out.
Yeah.
But like, baby doesn't just like slide out. They have to get in there and like pull the baby out. So I'm talking to her, and all of a sudden, like the other side of the curtain just starts thrashing back and forth, like the raptor like grabbing on somebody's leg and just like shaking them. So that's happening. Meg looks at me with like this strangest expression. I was like, "Can you feel this? It's like they're sort of pulling." And she's strapped down up there, bottom of just going crazy.
You're in the air ducts, right?
and then we just hear a scream. So.
And that was the baby.
That was the baby.
That was not the raptor.
It was pure scream. Raptor jumps out of the curtain.
Damn it, there's a raptor the whole time. I knew it.
So I had to do battle with the raptor.
Right. How'd that go? Well, you're here.
I won.
No one walks away from a raptor fight unless they win.
It dropped the baby. So that was the drop for the notorious raptor that had spawned She gave birth. There's so I got, beat the raptor, got the baby. Totally good.
2% drop chance on the baby. That's pretty good. You beat the odds.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's the rest, like the 98% are just eggs, just raptor eggs, and those only sell for like $2 at the vendor.
But whenever Meg saw her, because we had had the name Parker Rose picked out for a long time,
yeah.
Meg looked at her and was like, not a Parker Rose. Gotta come up with something different. So we spent the rest of the night like
just like that.
Just like that. And I was like, well, okay. And then they brought us like all these baby name books. We were all flipping through, like shouting what we thought was good.
Yeah,
so what one person said, everybody else hated. So it was just like that for a few hours until...
What were some of them?
Like Meg's friend really likes like Alice and Margaret and, you know, old-fashioned simple names.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that at all. I like stuff that's a little weirder.
Like Velociraptor.
Exactly. So that's and everybody else didn't like that.
So everyone, please welcome Velociraptor Holland into the world.
Velociraptor Rose.
That epidural lasted a long time.
We decided to keep the middle name Rose, and then I was slipping through. I really like Irish names. So we decided to call her Kenna Rose, because like Kenna's... It's uncommon. It's easy to pronounce and say. I think it's pretty. It means fireborn beauty. So if she has red hair, then we're doubly good to go. So that's what we went with. So we're happy with it.
You're sure it's not a porn star name, right?
Pretty sure.
Okay. I mean, I haven't heard it, but that's like my biggest fear is that when Nikki and I have a child, that we will inadvertently name her or him a porn star. More likely her, because if it's him, it's like male porn star names are pretty like distinguished.
We named her Eden 38 Double D. Dave, that's a porn star. Are you fucking serious?
All right, fine. Eva 38 D.
Okay, all right, you're good.
We're clear. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Glad. So everyone's fine.
Everyone's good. Yeah, babies came along well. Meg's healing. Everything's good. So I was at the hospital like, I'm going to go record Tadpog. I'll be right back. So here I am. So between feedings, I just sat and played Lost Vikings while Meg slept. And then I'd go 3 hours pass, pause it, go feed the baby, come back, play it through more hours, pause it, go feed the baby. So
we should have recorded there. We need one of those like Zoom, like handheld recorders.
That's what Exalted Lord Mike asked me.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, congratulations. We're going to have that special Tadpog episode in the hospital.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of actually wanted that to happen. I thought that would be fun.
We could. She's in a pretty private room now.
It would probably be like the shittiest audio quality you can imagine. I think that'd be part of the charm.
Just random screaming in the background.
Yeah. I mean, I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. I don't really think I should tell a story. I can tell one. Yeah, it's not going to be that good. One. It's not going to be epic like that. Like, it's my follow-up is ridiculous. I should have gone first. That's because, like, be like, hey, internet, remember, I had a nightmare last night. Check that out. Isn't that weird? I think
peas are overrated.
That really grinds my gears. What's up, internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. And I did have a nightmare last night. Yeah. And it's the kind of nightmare that I hate. I hate. It was like, okay, so here's the deal. Tell me if this has ever happened to you, Tyler. I'm having a dream. Like, it's just a normal ass dream. It's just, everything is normal. It's like Nikki and I are in our house and we're talking to one another. And I hear a car drive up in the driveway. And I hear someone coming up to the door. And I hear our storm door open, right? Mm-hmm. And then just loud knocking. And then what happens, of course, is like I wake up with the knocking, right? Mm-hmm. So like I wake up and like I'm just freaking out. Like in real life, I'm freaking out. Like, who's at the door and what's going on? And it's like I jump out of bed and Nikki's like, what are you doing? And I was like, did I dream that or did that happen? Like, I'm just talking crazy at her. Did I dream? And she's like, what? I'm like, did I dream that or did that happen? She's like, I don't know what you're scaring me. And then so I go to the front door, like flip the porch light on. I'm like staring out there like a madman for 20 seconds. It's 3 a.m.
It's just your cat on the other side. Just, right. Hey, what's up?
There was no one there. It was a dream. That was the general consensus. Which is good, because I don't know. I was terrified because no human being or human being knocks like that.
Most of my nightmares that get to me always involve if I have to fight something and I'm completely inept because like I have no strength and it's just super slow and like
you're through like going through molasses or something. Yeah,
like I hate just, that. Any time I have to fight something in a dream, it's awful. But you talk about some games.
Yeah, or one in particular, if you're okay with that.
You're right. It's Virtual Player Wednesday. One game.
Okay. Which one do you want to do? IGN's 30th ranked game?
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe?
I've already got notes for it. I guess we may as well.
Good. I'm going notes free. So if I'm a little lacking, it's because of that nightmare. I don't have time. I'm so tired today. I didn't have time.
You're trying to make notes. You just kept drawing doors and doors and doors.
And just
what's
writing
on the other side? Yeah. What's on the other side? But before we get into Lost Vikings,
yeah,
we should probably, if we listen carefully.
I think I hear something. I think I hear does it sound like a Viking funeral train?
Yep.
Yeah, that's on fire, of course. Mm-hmm. And it's going into water.
Yep. You can hear the cries sending it to Valhalla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
they remarkably sound like frogs, but yeah, they're crying to Valhalla.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and bust out the big guns. While I was playing this game, I was like, because we've had a lot of discussions about politically correctness, right? Especially like Indian style sitting. Like, I can't get over that. I'm obsessed with that. So why is it okay to say Vikings? Like, is that like, I feel like that's not okay. That right?
I mean, I guess if they call themselves Vikings, right?
But do they?
I know our depiction of them is inaccurate. They don't. Yeah. They never wore like the horned helmets.
They didn't?
And all that. No.
Well, then where did that come from? Like the Muppets or something?
I forget where it came from. I read something on it recently, like reading that article and then where it started. Like, I'm probably wrong, but I remember it really caught on around the time like Looney Tunes. Like the Barbara of Seville episode,
yeah, yeah,
where Elmer Fudd has the big horn.
Yeah,
helmet.
They're doing the opera.
Like,
yeah,
that's where it was really popularized.
Interesting.
So
this sounds like a cracked article just waiting to happen. But yeah,
that or Hagar the Horrible. I don't know, one of those.
Yeah. We'll have to consult the comic strip connoisseur Sean Miller on Hagar the Horrible.
Hagar the Horrible is probably a little too violent for him.
Okay,
because yeah, Hagar storms castles and an arrow shot at him. Miller likes the good, nice safety of BC or Family Circus.
All right. Well, I'm just gonna say Vikings.
Miller likes his comics like Jacob likes his podcasts. Just squeaky clean.
Yeah. Not the podcast ghetto, as Jacob put it, which really stuck with me for a while. It was like, you know, that is really kind of rude. And then like the longer I thought about it, I was like, that is really kind of like really on the nose. Yes, I do hear the Viking. I'm just going to say Viking. and maybe all these people of Nordic descent will send us angry letters. Please don't.
If they're okay with the Thor movies, I bet it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. The Asgardians.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that train. I hear that train. I think that is the, I believe that is the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. The Lost Vikings is a side-scrolling puzzle platform video game series, which was developed by Silicon and Synapse, later known as Blizzard Entertainment. The first game, The Lost Vikings, oddly enough named, was released in 1992 by Interplay Entertainment for DOS, Amiga, Sega Mega Drive, and SNES. The sequel, Lost Vikings 2, originally named, was developed by Blizzard and released in 1997 by Interplay for the SNES.
Oh, that'd be why I never heard of it. Released in 97. That's after the SNES's heyday.
Yeah, well, that was the second one, right?
Because I never heard of the second one until...
Right now?
Well, I was doing stuff, research, and looking into this earlier. Like, I was like, oh, there's Lost Vikings too.
I didn't know it existed either.
Yeah.
The main characters in both games, Tyler, are three Vikings, three Asgardians. Eric the Swift... Please correct me if I mispronounce these names, because there was no, believe it or not, there was no voice acting in this game. Balog the Fierce and Olaf the Stout. The goal is to guide all Vikings. They say all Vikings here, but I think that we specifically need to say all three Vikings. You don't bring extra Vikings.
In that village, there are only three houses.
Right.
<so. laughs>
It's very, very... The Vikings were very powerful. They only needed three to conquer almost the whole British Isles.
Very, very specialized Vikings.
A major gameplay feature is due to the fact that the player controls three different characters, although only one at any given time, and must make use of their individual abilities and work as a team to solve puzzles and progress. So that's the big hook to this game, is that... It's kind of a spin on a platforming game.
Because it's sort of like a platformer meets the kind of mechanics that I remember playing with, like Lemmings and
Lemmings?
Krusty's Funhouse.
Yeah, I never played Krusty's Funhouse.
Oh, man.
Is that a puzzle platformer?
It's basically Lemmings.
Really?
With Krusty leading Krusty the Clown dolls.
Is that as awful as it sounds? Like, you're making a really scrunched up face, so.
I mean, here's the thing that sucks. Like, I rented it so many times, it's a bad game. It's good other shit Monday material.
Okay.
Far in the future.
Okay, great. That's fine, man. I can't tell you how many times I've rented Cool Spot.
Oh, I loved Cool Spot.
I know you did, but I think we played different versions. Because I swear there was an NES version, and that's what I rented.
Hmm.
And it was, even as a child, I was like 7 years old, I remember thinking, I cannot believe I rented this commercial.
We can put other shit Monday about the NES, SNES, and the Genesis versions of just the Cool Spot trilogy. Oh,
that's gonna be a big episode. That's gonna be the one.
Our nine-part Cool Spot.
We're gonna hear from the Nerdist when we do that. They'll be like, I cannot believe you guys are brave enough. This is really groundbreaking, revolutionary podcast.
Never seen someone destroy their fan base more thoroughly than what you guys have done. Brilliant.
Yeah, but then maybe they'll hire us. They need a little. Let's face it, the Nerdists, they're kind of full of themselves. I think they need to come down and join us in the podcasting ghetto.
They have too much quality programming.
Yeah, if there's one critique I have for them, it's their quality. Too good.
You guys need some shit shows. Yeah,
exactly.
But
did you ever play this game as a kid?
I did.
Great.
This is another, like, playing it now, I remember playing it as a kid, like, I must have been just the stupidest kid.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna join you in this experience, because I also rented this game as a kid, and I don't think I made it past the first stage as a kid.
Yep, I didn't either.
Well, I would like to blame it on the fact that there was no instruction manual, which there wasn't. Did you have one?
I did not have one either.
But I did just fine as an adult, like just a couple days ago. I was like, oh, okay, I get this. But as a kid, I had no idea how to play this game.
Like, because I rented it multiple times, and I never got past, like, I remember playing it, and of course you start off as Eric the Swift. So he's like the only dwarf I played as.
Right?
Because I could not switch to any of the dwarves. I remember when it would work, I just kept mashing it like on all of the buttons at once and throwing it around and whatnot. And I would occasionally switch to another dwarf or another Viking. Really, I feel like they all really look like dwarves.
I already feel like we may have said dwarf.
Yeah.
So just disclaimer, Tyler, I am going to use Viking and dwarf interchangeably in this show.
Because they don't like, because I saw the Beowulf, you know, animated movie several years ago.
Sorry about that.
I thought it was all right.
Really? I didn't see it.
But like, they all look like Vikings. This clearly like, maybe Blizzard was like, man, no one's going to buy a dwarf game. Let's just call them Vikings.
They just didn't think the world was ready for a dwarf game. I think that could come out now. There are dwarf games now.
Yeah.
So there's Dwarf Fortress, at least.
Yeah, and Dwarf Fortress, I've seen one called Dwarves.
You
can build a dwarf deck in Magic, like fucking The Hobbit. Dwarves are mainstream now.
Yeah.
Maybe Blizzard's above it. Like, dwarves are too mainstream. Yeah. Too much.
I was the same way. I had no idea how to play this game. I didn't realize. I went through the whole first stage, essentially, as Eric Swift, like you said.
Which is like, it's fun. I feel like he's the most fun character to play as.
Why is that? Is it because he has a red beard?
Well, because he can actually move. Like, you can jump and do all the regular platforming you can do. You can get to the end of a stage pretty much just as Eric the Swift without problems.
So he jumps. He moves fast and he jumps.
Mm-hmm.
And he can also ram. He's so fast that he can ram his horned helm into a wall and destroy it.
And certain walls will crumble. Yeah.
Okay, so that's Eric the Swift. What about the rest?
There's
Balog.
Balog.
Fierce, right?
He is the warrior. Yeah. So he has a sword,
mm-hmm.
which I don't feel is very Viking. I guess a battle axe maybe, or...
I think a battle axe more dwarf, yeah. I'm pretty sure Vikings use swords, right?
Probably.
Yeah. But we want these to be dwarves, so, yeah. So I agree.
They should have axes.
I completely agree.
Axes are hammers.
Right. I totally felt the sword was out of place.
And he's got a sword and a bow and arrow.
Right.
A bow of infinite arrows.
He cannot jump.
Nope.
He cannot jump. He does not move fast. Pretty slow. Yeah.
But he can actually fight.
Yeah. He is the only one that can kill enemies.
Mm-hmm. But it's still as frustrating because, like, I'll see an enemy coming and I want to go and, like, jump over this thing that they're spitting at me or this projectile and just, like, nope, you're just going to get hit.
Yeah. Pretty much. But fortunately, there's Olaf the Stout,
mm-hmm.
the third dwarf.
He is a chubby dwarf with a big wooden shield.
Yes.
That they advertise it's invulnerable and he can block any attack, which is not true.
Did you have that issue too, where like if he wasn't like perfectly lined up mm-hmm. with an enemy, like especially like a dinosaur,
mm-hmm.
like it would bite over the shield? Yep. Yeah.
Or if I got an enemy caged too close in their movement, like the spinning cavemen.
Yeah.
If I tried to box one in,
uh-huh.
they would just hit him. Every time they would come out, they could just hit him and go right through. And he died so many times.
Yeah, I had that problem too. He's a little more versatile than Balog.
That's true.
Because he can not only use his shield to block enemies, he can also raise it above his head as a platform. Which is where I think it's kind of cool, because this is where the Vikings actually kind of have some... I wouldn't say interchangeability, but where they like kind of build on one another, where like mm-hmm. their abilities kind of cross over, where Olaf can raise the shield above his head and then Eric the Swift can jump on top of that shield like it's a platform mm-hmm. to get higher up.
And he can also hang glide with it for some reason.
Yes.
This huge fat dwarf can just raise this wooden shield above his head,
yes.
jump off and hang glide. God, I hope that there are kids out there that play the Lost Vikings when he got a big, like the bark off a tree and then jumped off the roof.
Just the tiniest piece.
How many kids were like, hey, I'm Olaf the Stout, jumping off roofs?
Well, let's
face it. The original Jackass.
All the kids just played as Eric the Swift.
Yep.
They were like, clearly, there's two of us here, like 100% of Tadpog podcasters. Strictly played as Eric the Swift.
And it's not like it's hard to switch. You press L and R.
One or the other. Yeah, there's like, there aren't very many controls in this game. You just move with the D-pad. You switch Vikings with L or R,
mm-hmm.
And that rotates through. And then depending on which Viking you are, you hit B, A, and Y to do your stuff.
Yep.
And that's it. And then you use X to use items. You pick up items.
Yeah.
And those are really not important to the game except for the keys.
Yeah, because you can pick up like fruit and steak. But I just found that each item like just cure one. Like you can take like three or four hits before your Viking dies.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
He turns to the skeleton and crumples.
Yeah, I love that animation, by the way. It's so like, because this game is like, I would say it's super cartoony, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, but the death animation is so, it's so Blizzard because it's like when one of the Vikings dies, it's just like you said, they just turn into a skeleton and like just fall into a pile mm-hmm. of bones. And it's like, it's kind of jarring. Because it's like everything's kind of cutesy up to that point, and then there's this bearded skeleton just collapses to the ground.
Did you finish a level with like only one Viking left?
Yes.
Because that was sort of frustrating because I finished one of the early levels as Eric the Swift.
Of course it was Eric the Swift.
And then it cuts to an animation of the Viking ship sailing off on fire, you know, to Valhalla, mm-hmm. and there's a crash of lightning, and two other Vikings respawn beside you.
Yes.
But then you start the level over again.
Right. Because you have to complete each stage, each level you have to complete with all three Vikings getting to the exit. That's how every stage mm-hmm. works, right?
Yep.
And if you don't, like you said,
it should just automatically, like, one dies and you automatically restart. As opposed to two can die. You can keep playing, but then you're going to have to restart.
Yeah, there's really no point in... When one dies, there's no point in playing still.
And like
you can restart it.
Yeah.
Through the you can pause it and then go to retry.
Which I didn't know, you know, really think about that. So it's like I waste my time trying to finish a level before it's like, oh, okay.
Right.
But this I thought it's a fun game. I thought it was fun and it's interesting, but it is certainly a game that is static in the time in which it came out. I feel like this game only works in the time period that, you know, that's when it was good. It couldn't have, I guess it could have worked, you know, before its time, but after its time and that this kind of thing was, it wasn't going to work anymore.
Why is that?
It's just, it's so clunky, like having to switch characters and then like you have to go all over the screen if they're not in certain order, because basically on every level you have to do pretty much the exact same thing.
Right.
So I wish the puzzles would have varied a little bit more. It's entertaining and fun, but yes. And shit can go downhill so quickly. You can spend 15 minutes doing this little process of you take Olaf and you keep moving him up little by little so he can block all the enemies. You move Balog up behind him and just fire arrows until the person's dead, and then you explore as Eric the Swift to get keys. And that's pretty much rinse and repeat for the game.
I felt that I think you're completely right. I felt like it got boring by about the desert, which is like the third world.
There are a lot of levels.
Yeah. Each world, I think, has like six levels, mm-hmm. and I think there's six worlds. I didn't finish the game. I had fun with it up until the desert, but then I felt like it just got more, the platforming got more difficult. Mm-hmm. The puzzles remain the same difficulty, because it's like you said, once you figure out what all the Viking's abilities are, you pretty much figure out all the puzzles. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of positioning them and getting all of them to the same area without them dying.
Yeah.
So it seemed like they just ratcheted up the enemies. Like they just made the enemies more difficult to deal with. Like instead of just having a little dinosaur that bites, you have all of a sudden a scorpion that shoots out three globs of poison in different varying arcs. And I don't know. It's just more like dodging and stuff like that.
And shit goes downhill very quickly, because if you don't position Olaf in the right way, he'll die. Even though you have three or four hits, like he can go down very quickly. Like I remember fighting the spinning caveman in the Prehistoria level. That they come twirling at you, they'll hit you when they twirl, hit you with their axe, and then twirl away, and that guy's done.
Yeah.
All before you can try to switch back to cover or move or anything like that. Like, it's the enemies are fast enough and the controls are clunky enough that if you don't do all sorts of planning, like lots of planning and thinking ahead of time, then you're just fucked.
Do you think that was like a construct of the game? Because I kind of consigned mm-hmm. myself to that, to where it was like, well, I guess they wanted you to do trial and error and figure out, like, oh, this is a dangerous spot. I need to, you know, figure out the best way to go through here. But it didn't make it more fun,
yeah,
knowing that. And something else that I I'm not 100% sure how I feel about it. Honestly, I kind of think it's poor design, is that there's a lot of stuff in the game that one hit kills you. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff. And it's stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think would. It's not like an endless pit or something like that in Mario Brothers. It's a fireball that shoots out of a wall or something like that, where it's like, if you're not hit by it, you would never think the first time that that's going to just kill you instantly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's like other things have been clubbing you and stabbing you and biting you, and those don't kill you instantly. But all of a sudden, this little fireball does.
Skeleton.
Yep. Yeah.
And like you can get to the close to the, that's like the whole level can take 10, 15, 20 minutes to do a level
because sure.
you're tediously flipping through the Vikings and moving them bit by bit by bit. You get to the end, one little thing goes wrong, one of them dies, start all over, do the exact same procedure you did before to the end, only being a little more careful this time to spot this little thing. And then
that kills you.
Yeah.
And now you got to restart and do it over again.
It's kind of a time sink of a game, and I don't feel like it should be.
Yeah, I feel like it was definitely designed, and this may go back to what you said originally, that this game was a product of its time, mm-hmm. because I can totally see that being desirable, that quality mm-hmm. of being able to sit down and spend 15 minutes on a level and like really taking your time and figuring out the most efficient way to go through it. I can see that being a very 90s video game thing.
Absolutely. In its time, this was great. This was fantastic. But
unless you were us as children, didn't know how to play.
I still like remember it fondly. I was like, yeah, that was really fun jumping around as Eric the Swift. But even then, like I enjoyed the platforming as Eric the Swift. I had no problem with that.
The platforming is pretty sound. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I mean, I feel like it's an above average platformer, even taking the puzzle aspect out of it. I think you add the puzzle aspect and it makes it really fun for like 18 levels, and then I think it just gets formulaic.
I wish the puzzles would have been deeper. Yeah. Like I wish they're maybe like puzzles that take the weight of each Viking into account, and they have to move and do stuff in a certain branch of a puzzle based on just their skills, and then you have to switch the other, as opposed to it being moving all three inch by inch by inch till you encounter the one thing that they can do. And then it's a solid premise. I just would have liked it seen. I would have liked it done a little better. Like this, I feel like if you take Secret of Mana's mechanic for three characters, put it here, that would have been fantastic.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool.
So yeah, having three people sit down and moving each of their own Vikings, you all working together in real time, not switching back and forth, would have been great. Or even like if you'd taken some kind of the control scheme like from Brothers. To say like the D-pad moves one Viking and the XABY mm-hmm. moved another Viking, and you can move two at the same time.
Is that how Brothers works?
Yeah, because each in Brothers, each brother, each Psy-axis joystick moves a different brother.
I was thinking about that. I was thinking about Brothers while I was playing Lost Vikings because that's an indie game that's been on my radar for mm-hmm. a while, and I was curious. How similar these two games
are. I think Brothers is like the closest working incarnation you're going to get for a Lost Vikings game. Because like now games like this, like they have a place in like the indie world, but games now are just more fast-paced and action-y that something like this, if it's not like real-time strategy or something like that where people expect it and want to have time to think and stuff, something like that, it's just not going to fly anymore.
I think platforming in general is not done as much, right? I mean, and when it is done, it's done with such a hard twist, right? Mm-hmm. Like Super Meat Boy.
Even Mario 3D Land for the Wii U is like a pretty challenging game.
Well, and I even specifically mean, I agree, but I specifically even mean like 2D platforming, like Braid. Because Braid's it's a platformer with an extremely heavy twist. And that's a puzzle platformer. Mm-hmm. I think that's in the vein of Lost Vikings, but even it takes a wildly different course mm-hmm. than Lost Vikings does.
So I guess Lost Vikings, it's a good start to where, you know, this kind of game would end up. So for its time, for the start of it, it's good, locked in time in the mid to early 90s. But
Speaking of the mid to early 90s, what did you think of the music of the game?
I thought it was bad.
I thought it was really bad.
Yeah.
I thought it was really bad. I know Paul of What's Paul Playing Today disagrees, unless he was being sarcastic. I don't think he was, but he's got a gameplay video of this game up. If you haven't played it, definitely check it out so you can at least see what we're talking about with the different Vikings and, you know, how you use their different abilities to get to the level. I thought the music sounded like a weird 1990s European ripoff of like, that's what I call 90s, you know,
because it is, because it's, the music doesn't have like any, there's no umph to it.
Yeah, there's no hook, right?
It's just kind of a basic, I mean, when you're in prehistoria, it's just sort of, you can tell it's sort of a caveman-y, you know, kind of a caveman-y. That's good.
Isn't that a character in Modern Family?
That's one of my one man stand. One of my one man show of the characters I do, Cave Manny. He's a,
please do it right now.
He's a butler who only works in caves.
Could you give us a taste? Let's hear Cave Manny.
Ooga, sir. Because he's an uppity like butler, but I mean his vocabulary is limited as a caveman.
I'm sorry.
It's a very good character.
I'm sorry, Cave Manny. Did you call me Ooga?
Ooga. Man, the Ground League is going to be fucking calling me.
I know.
Like, oh, man, you can join us for free and then go straight to Saturday Night Live.
Lorne Michaels is going to be calling you. I need that Cave Manny character.
Cave Manny is just brilliant.
We're printing up shirts right now that just say Ooga.
Fuck. All right.
The story's kind of silly. I like the story because it's intentionally silly.
Yeah.
It's three Vikings that get abducted by aliens and they're lost.
In my headcanon, the guy who is trying to get them is the Collector from the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
So he's come. He's like, a three Viking tribe, done. Let's put them on board. But I think like the boss that kidnaps them, their name is like Emperor Tomato.
Yeah, something like, there's like this really salad theme, right? Because I think the alien race are like, they're the Crotonians.
Yep. And like you find like the people you can talk to on the ship are like,
quote unquote people.
People, yeah, tomato beings you can talk to.
It's like Tomato Falcor.
Yeah.
The dialogue is funny. I feel like the game is written well because the Vikings talk to one another. And
I wish they talked a little more Nordically as opposed to modern English.
That's true. They're kind of like, they're like three Bart Simpsons.
Did you know the passwords are all four-letter Nordic words?
Are they really? No, they're not.
No, but that would have been good. Wouldn't that be a good twist?
Because I was about to say, I thought they were like pretty descriptive of the level you were at. And I was like, is that where like the word bubbles comes from?
Because I remember one word had the O with the slash through it. And I was like, I wonder if these, and the next one was like GLMN. Okay, no, never mind. It's not. That would have been, that's what I would have done. That would have been a good twist for the password system. But,
Na 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 na.
Nice.
Don't reward me for that.
No, I do that all the time. I love doing that to people. Nothing like a good Master P goof.
It's true, except for Cave Manny. Nothing beats a Cave Manny.
Said we do that, and Nicole of Kirby's Dream Course fame was just, what?
Yeah, missed it.
Now she's in her car like, I pretty much know who Master P is. Why'd they say that? But, really, I feel like you could play through this game with two of the three Vikings and be totally fine. I feel like you could take Balog out and you could play through as Eric the Swift and Olaf.
Like, you think that would make a better game, or you think that would be possible?
I feel like you could
do
that. I feel like
that's an achievement.
I feel like the three Vikings are not essential as a team, even though it says it is, because Balog is kind of shitty because his sword is almost useless.
Yeah, don't use his sword. That's ridiculous.
You have to use his bow and arrow, and even then it's just like Olaf could kind of pin someone up through the wall, and then Eric the Swift could just run, and then
you feel like Balog was in there just so people could kill
just
shit?
Just to kill shit.
Yeah.
Because he's the game, great idea. Still pretty solid, but I feel like it could have been a lot better. Maybe I need to play Lost Vikings 2 to see if
do you
see if they improved. I'd like to do it and see if they improved upon it. I know they added two more characters.
Oh, they did? There's so five Vikings?
At the start of each level, you can choose three of the five to do the level as.
Is one of the additional Vikings the enormous baby that Eric the Swift has in the beginning? What is up with that huge baby?
And I guess they're all like, they have very specific goals, like only redheads can marry other redheads. Yeah. Only blondes can marry other blondes.
This game is extremely, extremely prejudiced.
This is
like, this is like the conservative right Vikings.
the Lost Vikings, they're very into eugenics.
Yeah.
But, and I feel like they should have had one be brunette then, if they're going for the color theme. Why have one redhead and two blondes? But okay,
whatever.
Yeah, I'd be so if we take a time portal back, I could make this a good game. But yeah, I know, which that makes me kind of a little bit leery about having five and be able to choose three. That means the levels are going to be very non-generic kind of puzzles. It'll just be, I feel like it might be the same thing all over again. Just pick three and just maneuver however you want through the level, probably being using the same tactics. If it were five and they were like split up on different levels and each one, the skills were very synergistic to figuring out puzzles, great. But it's probably not.
Are you familiar with, I know you weren't a PC gamer, but by some off chance you might be familiar with this game. A game called The Humans?
Nope.
I had it as a kid. And it was not a great game, but it reminded me a little bit, or the Lost Viking reminded me of The Humans a little bit, because you've got, in this PC game, you've got this tribe of humans, right? And you essentially need to get them through all these different levels. And like one of the things that they do is, like if you need to get up on a high ledge, you'll need to make like a totem. Like out of this tribe, so like you'll need to get them all on the same ledge, and then like climb on the shoulders, and that's like a cheerleading move, like a cheerleading tower or
the
something.
Pyramid, or
yeah, you got to make something like that to progress. So it kind of it. The only reason I want to bring that up is that maybe Sam has played this game, because like he has played a lot of shitty PC games like I have. So I don't know, The Humans, Sam, you on that?
Yeah, Megalixir. For us, music, just stay away from this game. There's nothing for you musically in this game.
Yeah, I mean, just send us, now that's what I call 90s. Just put that in the Dropbox and we'll use that as the opener. Get
some letters to Cleo, send it right over, we're good. We're good.
You know the Lost Vikings are in, of course you know this, Tyler, being the incredibly dedicated World of Warcraft player that you are.
Oh, yes.
You do realize that these three Lost Vikings are in World of Warcraft.
That's good. I like that.
As NPCs, and they are dwarves. So we are totally in the right to call them dwarves, which I have struggled all episode. Where that's why there's like this one half second beep every time I say Viking right before it. It's like, and these Vikings.
I feel like we covered this game pretty well. Do you have any achievements or anything for it?
I could come up with some. How about the Lost Gnome?
Okay.
The Lost Gnome. And in order to unlock the Lost Gnome, you have to complete one level as Eric the Swift. Because as you know, David the Gnome rode Swift the Fox.
Nice. Yeah, Swift the Fox.
And gnomes are distant cousins to dwarves.
The thing about like, man, the thing about David the Gnome is like, on paper, I should have not liked that show at all.
Why?
If you were to tell me about it, I would have thought it was so, like, so very boring. And even on some level, I think as a kid, like, I wasn't super entertained by it.
Yeah.
But I watched the shit out of it.
Right? I kind of felt the same way. I think it was the intro, because it had, like, the best intro.
Yeah, it was really catchy.
But it's also weird, because it's like, okay, a friend of mine, a dude I worked with in Lexington, right? He was probably 6 or 7 years younger than me. And one day out of the blue, I was like, I made a Swift the Fox reference, because that's pretty much what I do. Like, just I'm on point with Swift the Fox references. That would be my SNL character, Swift the Fox guy. It's like a Rob Schneider kind of deal. But I mentioned something, and he like caught on to it, and I was like, "Whoa, you know David the Gnome?" And he's like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "David the Gnome, you know, it's like Swift the Fox," and he like they did gnome shit, because like who the fuck knows what happened in that show, right? Because it was incredibly boring. It's like I don't know. There was like a gnome that was always sick or something. They had to get medicine. Like, isn't that the story? That's the plot. Like every episode,
a lot of them are like, yeah.
They're like, oh no, this gnome is sick.
Dave, you have to come heal them. Ride right. Fox really quickly to go save exactly. them.
So he was like, yeah, I know what you're talking about, but that wasn't David the gnome. And I was like, yeah, it was. What do you call it? And it was like the World of Gnomes or something like that. Like they changed the name of the show and then like they changed the intro and like everything else is just the David the Gnome that we know. So I don't know what the story is there, but they chopped and screwed it.
Man, so anybody who's an aficionado of all things David the Gnome, let us know. Let us know what's up.
David the Gnome historian.
Did it end like super darkly?
I heard that. Is that true?
I think so. Because I had like episode like everybody dies.
Gargamel shows up and eats them all. He decided if he can't have Smurfs, he's gonna fuck
these
up his
fuckers
number.
Are a lot easier right. to catch. Just follow that fucking fox.
And there's just a fox trap. Swift is just gnawing at his leg. Meanwhile, Gargamel's just cooking all the dwarves.
I feel like that was gnomes. An episode like where Swift the fox gets caught in a like a right. leg trap.
Yeah.
Like I remember a few of those episodes, man, those lessons stuck with me. Like I remember one of them, like the dad always cooked all the meals in this yes. gnome family.
Yeah.
And
oh my god, I remember this.
The mom tried making a meal. The kid's like, this is gross. And they ran away from home and got lost. And they were super hungry and they got found, got bagged, like, here's some food. And they were like, this is the best food ever. It's that same meal you didn't like. They're like, we'll never talk back again and appreciate the food we're given.
Moral received, David the Gnome. Moral received.
That and one of the a really short gnome that everybody made fun of, and it turned out he was sick, and David gave him this special grow juice that made him healthy. But
bull shark testosterone. He was just demolishing home run records.
He'd go into roid rages to kill other gnomes.
That's where Swift the Fox comes from.
Here's a reference for Lord Mike. It was like the Scott Steiner, who's he's Big Papa Pump in the WCW.
He was
bleach blonde hair, fucking enormous dude. And he would just sometimes, like when fans would jeer him or someone would reach out and like touch him while he's going away, he would just fucking go nuts and attack fans because like he would just go into a roid rage and just couldn't control it.
Is that the truth? Like, is that what happened?
He has attacked fans before.
Yeah.
And it's just in this crazy roid rage because dude is fucking enormous. He's something out of a superhero movie. He looks like, what's the Green Dragon with the huge upper body and tiny legs. He's like that.
I'm just nodding. I'm like, I don't know, but I'm
Savage Dragon. That's it. He's like Savage Dragon.
Oh, okay. I'm just the one with the big dorsal fin, right?
Yeah, yeah. He got the white tank top, enormous muscles, tiny legs, green fin. But he's like, then of course he kept taking his medicine. He went from the shortest gnome.
This is the wrestler.
To the biggest gnome. This is the wrestler. So it's like that. Like Scott Steiner was just like, he was just a little bitty dude.
Yeah.
Took all these magical
David
steroids.
The gnome just bumped him up.
God, I even hope that's the right name. I wasn't a WCW fan.
I don't. Hey, I'm not a Steiner.
Big Papa Pump, I know, was his
Final Fantasy his 9 name. References. I don't know. Do you have any achievements for this game?
I do. I have 3.
All right. What you got?
My first one is.
They're all David the Gnome related, right?
We could do Dave the Gnome cast. It'd be great.
I would be in for that. If I could find them all streaming, I would seriously consider asking you, hey, you want to like on Fridays, we just watch a Dave the Gnome episode and talk about it?
Every week we break down one Dave the Gnome episode
to
its very end.
It's just the dirtiest show. We get like porn star guest stars to the host.
Oh, fuck. My first one is Dash Rendar.
Oh wow, that's a deep cut, dude.
I don't even know what that is. It just
that's
it's
a shadows,
in my memory.
That's
bank.
A Shadows of the Empire reference.
Okay, good.
That was clearly Han Solo that they wrote out of that novel because he was frozen in carbonite.
Okay, because I remember the name somewhere. I was like, okay, that has Dash in it.
Nice.
That means run. So you unlock Dash Rendar by finishing a level with only Eric the Swift surviving.
But you know, that was mine. That was mine. That was Swift the
Fox. You said that first. You know, so it's either Dash and Dora or Swift the Fox. They're both about running and going fast.
I want to see the buddy cop movie with Dash, Rendar, and Swift the Fox. It's like a real Turner and Hooch kind of thing.
My second one, King Obold Mini Arrows, which you unlock King Obold Mini Arrows, who is a villain from the Dritzdarden books.
Oh, okay. Is he a dwarf?
He's an orc. Okay. I forget why he's called Mini Arrows, but kill all the enemies on a stage with arrows as Balog. And the last one being that pilot wing shit. You unlock that pilot wing shit.
Please, I know. It's got to be hang gliding.
Yeah.
Nice.
You hang glide through most of the level as Olaf.
Nice. I was trying to come up with something with like Joe and Mac ain't got shit. Where you have to like murder every caveman in the game.
There you go.
We failed to mention that you're like... Most of the game is you traveling through space and time,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, Prehistoria to...
Anyone listening to this is like, they're talking about tomato aliens and dinosaurs? I don't...
So I could... Spaceship, Prehistoria, pyramids...
Then that's where I stopped. So I don't know.
Because that's also where I stopped. But I looked it up and there's like Wacky World, something else, and Wacky World.
Okay.
So...
Tyler.
Do you have any questions? Anything?
I do.
Okay.
Tyler, I've got several questions.
Okay.
This is like what I consider the question portion of the show.
Yeah.
We're past 50 minute mark. Question time.
Yeah.
First question for you. It's part of a new segment that you may remember. And you have to play this alone today because we do not have any other old guys or lovely ladies with us today. Tyler, what I want to know is how much is this game on Amazon? At the time of this recording, how much do you think The Lost Vikings for the Super Nintendo is?
Because I remember if I rented this as a kid at the good video place, which by the way, like I rarely got to go there because my parents said it was so far away.
That was Family Video, right?
It was at most Movie Hut.
Movie Hut. Oh, I'm sorry.
Movie Hut.
I'm sorry. We were looking for Movie Hut.
As I remember by Alex Trebek, so close. Movie Hut.
I was thinking more Family Feud. Judges?
But like in retrospect, like that was at max a 10-minute drive, but they act like it was a fucking cross-country trip to take me to...
That's going into town. Oh, quote-unquote, going into town. I'm sorry, going.
Because it was like, they had no problem taking me to the Piggly Wiggly, which was like 5 minutes away. But the extra other 5 minutes go to the good video store. Fuck that.
So Tyler, you've done plenty of stalling. Mm-hmm. I know you're trying to calculate.
1250.
You're going with 1250?
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, actual retail value of The Lost Vikings for the Super Nintendo on Amazon at the time of this recording is $18.80 used.
Okay.
New.
Yeah.
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
$199.95.
Man. It does have good cover art. I was attracted to it in the store by looking at it.
It does. It kind of has like a almost like a claymation kind of look to it, doesn't it? I'm surprised actually it's as cheap as $18.80 with it being like an early Blizzard game.
Mm-hmm.
I'd think it would be like a $50 or $60 game.
I guess there must have been a lot of copies of it. I bet Lost Vikings 2 is probably a lot harder to come by.
We'll do that segment for Lost Vikings 2 when we get to it.
Okay. I won't look it up. I'll just wonder.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
It has been a podcast
mm-hmm.
about Vikings and dwarves. I really, really enjoyed the David the Nine talk. I really did. Like that is, that one pulled this episode out of the fire. I think the listeners
not Cave Manny.
I forgot about Cave Manny. I'm so sorry.
I worked hard on the character.
I know. I'm sorry.
He has a very intricate backstory.
Here's the order of importance. Uga, number one. I'm sorry. Uga? Number one. Number two, David the Gnome / the World of Gnomes or whatever the fuck they renamed that shit. So I'm glad. I'm glad that, and I'm also glad that you emerged out of the hospital. And came over here.
Yep.
Because I clearly didn't know what we were doing. I didn't. So I'm glad. It's super. That just shows your dedication to the show that you were able to invent Cave Manny on the way here to record. If you were to give this game,
I created Caveman years ago. Just keeping that ace, just that ace in my pockets.
Literally, if you literally have a playing card in your pocket, then just Sharpie it's Caveman.
A rough sketch, and then just Ooga in quotation marks.
Ooga. If you were to give this game a beard, mm-hmm. on a scale of dwarven to Viking, what kind of beard would you give it, and why?
I would give it the beard of Oin, son of Gloin. It's Oin, son of Gloin. He has a, it's a gray, well-manicured, overly manicured beard. So, really, I guess some of the bells and whistles are unnecessary. A dwarf can get by with a much simpler, more professional beard, like, say, Thorin Oakenshield.
Okay. So. This is a side tangent. For some reason, this game reminded me of In Living Color. I don't know why. I think it's.
Are you sure you just don't want to have lots of Living Color references in the show notes?
I mean, I do. I always want lots of In Living Color. I think it's because the opening title to this game is like, it sounds like the end of In Living Color, like the fly girls are dancing. It's really, I don't know. It's really weird.
Who was it? Paula Abdul? She was a fly girl?
Was it Paula Abdul? I thought it was like Jennifer Lopez.
Maybe it was Jennifer Lopez.
Clearly, I'm not up to date on
Tony, what modern singer was once a fly girl?
Yeah, chemistry guy. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses mm-hmm. on an In Living Color scale, what kind of glasses would you give it?
Well, I would have to, because I'd had to do some research. I'd give it the only pair of dwarven glasses that I know, which are Doc's glasses from Snow White.
Oh, okay. There's seven of those.
Yep.
Seven of those guys. Four did not make it to the Viking village.
So yeah, Doc's simple, not seen often pair of glasses.
Probably. Would you say the least favorite dwarf?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Like, because they're all like kind of entertaining and have their own characteristics, except for them. They're just Doc. I mean, I guess he's the smart one. He's got glasses.
Is he a doctor? Is that the deal? I don't remember. Clearly, we need to watch. We need a viewing. We need to open the vault.
Because I guess the most famous dwarf is probably going to be Grumpy.
Grumpy, yeah. That's the one I always see on like the non-traditional students' t-shirts.
Fuck. Oh, man.
It's always Grumpy.
And also, Grumpy was the, the show, Once Upon a Time.
Caveman.
He's also.
I think that's the show you're looking for.
they made one episode, never got picked up by CBS. But I think Grumpy was the dwarf they really focused on there.
Really?
Yeah, because he was named something else, and then the person that he loved dies.
What?
Because, like, I think...
I should have been paying closer attention to what you're saying. What is this?
Once Upon a Time is a show basically where all the fairy tales and shit that you've heard about, it's all real and it's all concentrated in this one town.
So it's like fables then, kind of?
Sort of, because okay. It goes back and forth between the fairy world and the modern world where they're all stuck.
Okay.
And it tells the stories, like, each citizen is actually a fairy tale character, and then you go back to the fairy tale world to explain their story and why they're there.
Okay.
So, like, Grumpy is originally named something else. Like something...
Grumpelstiltskin.
Rumpelstiltskin is the big bad.
No, Grumpelstiltskin. You misheard me, Tyler. He's the character that I've created.
Caveman and Grumpelstiltskin.
I don't know. I don't know where to go from there. I really don't. But hope everyone's enjoying that as much as we are.
Apparently each dwarf gets their name when they pick up their first pickaxe, and then their name appears on that. And
it defines their personality.
Exactly. So,
does it really?
Something tragic happens to him, and
the name on
his axe changes to Grumpy. So,
does the pickaxe like compel him to like murder his wife with it or something?
It's that one, the actor, the two sort of comic relief characters in Pirates of the Caribbean. The one that has the eye that always falls out, and the other, the fat one.
The dude from Dwight from the British Office.
Yes. It's the other one, that's the actor who plays Grumpy.
Okay.
But that's the extent of my Once Upon a Time knowledge, because Meg watches it and I play games and it's on in the background.
That's good. I'm impressed.
So
I'm not, I don't, I, should I watch it?
No.
Okay.
No.
It jumped
the shark at this point. Okay. It never was that. It's no Fables. Just read Fables.
It literally jumped the shark. They've got Fonzie as a fairy tale character.
No. Any other in the comments with the Lost Vikings, David the Gnome, or hit characters?
Well, there were like trolls in David the Gnome, weren't there? You remember those? I think those are like my favorite episodes where they had like the trolls.
Where David has to trick the trolls. Like,
yeah.
And they work like hobbit trolls, right? Like,
right.
Sunlight and they turn to stone.
Right. I liked that.
Yeah.
That's about all I got to say.
Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. That's Other Shit Monday. So yeah. it'll be some other shit.
Yeah.
But then the next Wednesday, for Original Flavor Wednesday.
29.
IGN's 29th ranked game, Wario's Woods.
Never played it.
Never played it either.
That's a puzzle game, right?
Believe so.
So we definitely need a lady.
Yep.
Because I'm going to go ahead and be sexist.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating. I'm sorry. Give the show a 5-star rating. Write a review. If there's a game you want us to play, include that in your review, and we'll get to it eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to try to get Kenna on as early as possible. We don't know. I don't know when Meg's going to clear that. So I don't know. Maybe a month. Can we commit to a month from now?
We'll just go around the NICU with all the other premature babies and just
record a show. excuse me, sir. Could you please leave?
I'm allowed to have one other person in here besides me. I'm following your rules.
Uga?
Everybody laughs.
And then we jump in the air and freeze frame. So yeah, we're going to be back or something. We're going to be talking about stuff. If you can't wait for more Tadpog goodness, in the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. I'm willing to bet you we're going to have full episodes of David the Gnome in the show notes. Like, I mean, that's probably all that's going to be there.
40 links in the show notes, and they're all episodes of David the Gnome. One Living Color episode.
Yes. So please, catch up, because that's all we're going to talk about on upcoming Other Shit Monday. Was there a David the Gnome video game? And if not, why not?
I don't remember one.
Why not?
Hopefully there's one in Japan.
Probably some World of the Gnomes bullshit caused that to not go through. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. That's where a lot of people are putting We Done Goofed. So go there. And if we fucked something up, which I guarantee you we did in this episode, find the link to this episode on Facebook and post what we fucked up. And we'll probably talk about it unless I forget about it.
And then we double goofed.
Yeah.
We cancel each other out. Never happened.
Yeah. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at tadpog_podcast. Thank you for everyone who's retweeting us and favoriting our tweets and talking to us. We read them all. We love you all. Thank you very much for doing that. I guess the last thing is you can call us if you want.
Or text us.
At 270-883-2555. If you call, ask a question. We like questions because then it allows us to pretend like we're funny for a little bit.
Yep.
And we like that. Because you know Lauren is listening. and I swear to you, when I see Caveman-y on SNL, you need to secure a lawyer.
gotta trademark that shit.
Here's what you do. You write down Caveman-y and put it in an envelope and seal it and mail it to yourself.
It's my homage to Frozen Caveman Lawyer by Phil, played by Phil Hartman. We're very close. They're about as funny.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. It's a toss-up, really. That's all I got, I think.
Our intro. Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about that?
Again, we can mention our intro song.
All right.
Moves. By Sycamore Drive.
Mm-hmm.
The link to that track can be found in the show notes.
Or the Gnome Village.
Our Gnome Village of tadpog.com. I guess until next time.
Tropical Capricorn. Been playing The World Ends With You.
I am so glad you said that.